Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Well, we're going to continue today in our program listening to John Guindola talk. He was an FBI agent. We'll be bringing him up in a moment. Former FBI agent and expert in terrorism. But remember our previous program, if you didn't catch it, you need to catch it. We broke down specifically how this is a jihad generation. What is jihad and how does that relate to Islam? And what we found out is that nowhere on the globe, on the face of the earth, according to this expert, former FBI agent, are they teaching anything about a peaceful religion. In the time that Muslims and Christians and Jews lived together for that 800 or 793 years, and they said that was peaceful existence. No, it wasn't, because the Jews and the Christians were actually submitted to Islam during that time. And under the, you know, convert, submit, pay the jizya tax or the tax, or die. That was the alternative to it. And so here you are right now when the same promulgated untruths are going forth, saying that there is such thing as a peaceful Islam. When you're loyal to the Quran and loyal to what it says, based on what we've been understanding from John Guindola, is that, hey, you know, you're going to be, it's not going to turn out that way specifically. So today we're going to be talking about, during the interview, answering questions about, do our leaders even know that we're already in World War III? Because it's a jihadi type war. Another particular question is going to be answered today. Has all 50 states been invaded by Islam with this mindset of jihadism? And another question that John Guindola is going to be answering is, what do Muslims teach other Muslims when we're not around? And finally is, are they infiltrating America? But first I want to tell you a little bit about John. John Guindola. He's one of the top terrorism experts in the United States. He created and implemented the FBI's first counterterrorism training and education program about the Muslim Brotherhood and their subversive movements throughout the United States. This is so important to understand, because right now our current leader, President Barack Obama, has put a policy out that you cannot teach our generals, you cannot teach the leaders about the Muslim Brotherhood and jihadism. And according to Congressman Michelle Bachmann, they purged the FBI libraries and all the mention of jihad as an adversary or enemy of America. And this is amazing what's taking place. And the assistant to former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, her name is Uma. That very name, Uma, according to my understanding, means a gathering of the Muslims, but her name, her mother and father are leaders, or were leaders, in the Muslim Brotherhood. Well, John Guindola is helping us better understand as we continue and join this interview with Jim Baker with John Guindola. Let's take a look now.
I'm wondering if some of our leaders understand the Muslim world has already basically invaded the world. We're in a third world war in my estimation, but it's a different world, different war. But what if our leaders already realize, with the numbers, we play the number game, with the amount of people that are Muslims in the world, and the way I've been told they've invaded all 50 states, if we have leaders who just maybe want to be on the right side when it all comes down, or not the right side, the winning side, and they've already calculated, and they just don't want to offend them, so they're going to be on the right side. Could that be a possibility?
I think there are some of our leaders that are in that camp, but I would say most of it is this...
ignorance?
Part of it's ignorance, but part of it is, the destruction of reason and logical thought in the West is not something that's been a small objective of both the communist, the communist, socialist, Marxist political left movement, as well as the jihadi movement. So this idea that, we were joking last night, you know, 2 + 2 = 4. But there are people who would argue, you know, that's not always true.
Mm-hmm.
No, no, actually, that's always true. that's always going to be true.
Right.
Or people who argue, in addition to that, that there are no objective truth. And I just say, well, if that's true, then go up the top of the, you know, a four-story building and step off. And we'll see if the law of gravity still applies.
Right.
Right?
That's right.
And the law of gravity does apply because there is an order to the universe. There are laws that apply. There's objective truth.
Mm-hmm.
There is good and there is evil.
Mm-hmm.
This destruction of reasoned and rational thought mm-hmm. plays big into this because if there's no right or wrong, then truly the Christian understanding of the world, the understanding of our founders, that no laws can violate natural law or the law of Scripture, law of God, that's one perspective. But, you know, if you want Sharia and you know, you want it, it's pretty much the same. Like I've heard pastors, whether they're Protestant, non-denominational, Catholic, whatever they are, say things like, well, you know, it's one God, three Abrahamic faiths. Well, that's nonsense, right? How can the same...
Even blending. I've heard of a new religion
right,
that they're blending.
Islam.
Right. Yeah, have you
right,
heard of that?
We remove from the Bible those things that offend Muslims so we can all come together. Well, but the problem is, for instance, what Muhammad said was, right, I've been commanded to kill the Jews, right? The rocks and the stones will cry out, oh, Muslim, there's a Jew behind me, come and kill him.
Mm.
That's what Muhammad teaches. And Muhammad said that Jesus will return and say to the people, the Muslims, right, that he will break the cross. Jesus will break the cross and cast all Christians into hell for not believing Islam, for not converting to Islam, and will kill the pig, will kill all the Jews and abolish the jizya, the non-Muslim poll tax, because that'll all be over because Christians will be in hell, Jews will be killed, and then Muslims can go to paradise. Well, can the same God who tells the Jews, you're my chosen people, be the same God that says all of you Jews need to be killed so Muslims can go to paradise? And can the same God who says, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased, listen to him? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Be the same Jesus who comes down and casts all people who believe into him into hell for not converting to Islam. And the answer is no. And this is not a theology lesson. This is a logic 101 lesson.
Right.
Those two things cannot exist at the same time.
Wow. Powerful, John. Powerful.
The media makes it seem as if there has not been many attacks in the United States, you know, recently and whatever, exception of maybe San Bernardino, which was a horrible thing. And so it's like, Even our main leadership in this country always want to minimize. We never start with 9/11, and I'm sure it goes beyond that. But it's like they're more concerned about offending those who want to destroy Christianity and destroy Judaism.
When you see these events in the news, and you hear these reports, you have to ask, looking at it through the lens, the filter of Sharia, what does this mean? Right? You understand the words. And so, yes, Muslims get killed. What does Sharia say about that? Sharia says those are martyrs.
Mm-hmm.
That's a done deal. So the Muslims that were killed in New York City on 9/11, those are martyrs according to Sharia. And so you understand that. You understand that these are Muslims waging acts of jihad, not acts of terrorism. And for instance, you want to know a practical example. When police, whether it's FBI, local or state police, are interviewing an Islamic, what we would call an Islamic terrorist, a jihadi from our perspective, when they ask questions like, are you a terrorist? Are you aware of any terrorism plots? And do you know other terrorists? They could be on a polygraph machine and say no to all those, even though tomorrow they were going to drive a truck laden with bombs into a federal building and pass the polygraph, because they're not terrorists. They're jihadis. They're waging jihad in the cause of Allah, fi sabilillah. That's who they are. They are waging a jihad because Allah commands and Sharia enshrines from the Quran and the example of the Prophet Muhammad that when you have the strength and the ability to wage jihad, you must wage jihad. So why didn't they wage jihad in the 50s or the 40s or the 60s? Because they didn't have the power to. Once you have the... Well, what happened in the late 60s? They started getting material wealth from the oil money. And what do we see in the early 70s? Terrorism starts on the rise. We see hijackings. We see all these things right into the 80s. Now, we are focused on the Soviet Union.
Right.
And we're focused on defeating the Soviet Union. But while that's going on, and the backdrop of that is the Islamic world is building its infrastructure, including here in the United States. Now they have a lot of money, not just from Saudi Arabia, although that's the primary contributor, from Iran, which is now the leading contributor for Hamas and other groups around the world. You have the UAE and Dubai, where money's coming out of there for the global jihad. And these folks think they're going to win. And so they're waging jihad because they're commanded to, and they have the ability to, and so they have to. And if you want to ask a question about what about this, we could ask 1,000 questions. What about Egypt that actually was a real ally? What about, you know, the king of Jordan, who is really an ally? And he is. What about that? Well, those are individuals who have looked across the spectrum and said, yeah, we'll have Sharia so long as it keeps those guys happy. But otherwise, we're going to actually deal in the modern world. The problem is, as we go through this cycle that happens every couple centuries, where now the people in control are the Sharia-compliant Muslim leaders, they're waging jihad. And so all these quote-unquote moderate Islamic countries, like Egypt, like Turkey, like Jordan, like Indonesia, like Malaysia, are all becoming much more Sharia-compliant, which means they are a threat. So where you draw the line in the sand here for you and me, for your viewers, for us, for the United States and the West, is anyone who obeys, complies with Sharia and seeks to impose it on others, they are a threat. There are people who self-identify as Muslim who do not want to obey Sharia. They want to do whatever they want to do, and quite frankly, I don't care about those people. If somebody doesn't want to adhere to Sharia, thank you. When I was at the FBI, I had people that worked for me that risked their lives, that were Muslims, that went over to places like Afghanistan and Pakistan and other countries and identified safe houses for Al-Qaeda, identified targets, identified weapon caches, and they did those things. And the fact that they maybe had premarital sex with a girlfriend or drank or smoked or wore flip-flops is not my business. My business as a national security consultant is to identify this threat. What ISIS, Al-Qaeda, Hamas, Hezbollah, Boko Haram, Al-Shabaab, Abu Sayyaf, and all these Islamic leaders at the highest levels of Islamic jurisprudence at Al-Azhar, to every Islamic school and mosque, what they teach, what they all have in common is that they seek to establish a caliphate under Sharia. If you keep that focused, then that will help you as you listen to the nonsense that our leaders speak, so that when a Muslim runs across the street and shoots a policeman at point-blank range screaming Allahu Akbar, as in Philadelphia, and then says, I'm ideologically aligned with ISIS, and I believe in these things that Sharia teaches, and the mayor of Philadelphia says this has nothing to do with Islam, I mean, that's a psychological shocking disconnect from reality right there is what that is.
That is. And you actually have it in your book in section 7, understanding the language of jihad. This is powerful.
I just thought of a story popped up in my head. There was a guy that was arrested in Heathrow Airport named Abdurrahman Alamoudi in 2003. And he was one of the premier Muslim leaders in the United States. The Washington Post called him the pillar of the Islamic community in the United States. He founded or led almost 24 of the largest Islamic organizations in the United States, was the single most prominent Islamic advisor to the White House, to President Clinton and Vice President Gore, and then was introduced into the George W. Bush campaign and started getting inside of there until after 9/11. And it turns out he gets arrested at Heathrow Airport with $340,000 cash that he got from Muammar Gaddafi of Libya for the global jihad. And it turns out he's implicated in a plot with Libyan intelligence officers to kill the Saudi crown prince who became King Abdullah of Saudi Arabia. This guy was a prominent Islamic leader in the United States. He was the advisor to the President of the United States. And it turns out he was not only a Muslim Brotherhood Hamas leader, he was a financier for Al-Qaeda. And why do I bring all this up? Because the day before he got sentenced, he got extradited back to the Eastern District of Virginia in Alexandria, Virginia. And we picked him up, and myself and a colleague of mine interviewed him the day before he got sentenced. And knowing this language, I went in there, and he was getting very irritated. And I said, well, you're just a terrorist. And he lost his mind because I knew he's not a terrorist. He's a jihadi. But the point of that is these words, peace. I explained to you earlier, you know, peace is the situation that exists when the entire world is under Islamic law. I don't remember, and I'm not a scholar and I'm not a theologian, never been to seminary, but I don't recall in Scripture anywhere that Jesus told us we were supposed to be morons. Just,
yeah, he warns about being a fool, for
that's
one
right.
thing, I know that.
I would just say this. We're called to be soft-hearted, but not soft-minded.
Right.
And not soft targets.
Right, not soft targets. Jesus never said, bring the lambs into the pen with the wolves, and then tell the lambs that those wolves are other lambs. That's what we're doing. And that's what the church, many church leaders are doing, is they're bringing Muslims in to talk to them. Now, if you were going to bring them in, I can see it, for instance, if I were shepherding a church and I were going to say, okay, we're going to bring them in to talk. And before we do that, I'm going to teach you what Islam teaches, what Muslims teach each other when you're not around. Because it's a capital crime in Islam for a Muslim to teach another Muslim something that's not true about Islam. So if this is true, then you teach that to the flock, then you bring the Muslim leaders in. And what I've found is where I do this, which is usually while I do speak in churches, when I do this to law enforcement, the most savvy law enforcement and community leaders, whether it's the attorney general of the state or other officials, once they have their people educated and they bring the Muslim leaders in, and the Muslim leaders start saying, oh, you shouldn't have that understanding the threat back because it's bigoted and hateful. And then people just raise their hands and say, is it true that, boom, 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 that Sharia requires this? Well, but, you know, and all of a sudden, the things that the Muslim leaders are saying are exactly what we teach them they're going to say. Mm-hmm. To completely take the argument and try to backdoor you. And all of a sudden, everyone in the audience is going,
This is so helpful. Thank the Lord for this former FBI agent, John Gondola, and this expert in terrorism and understanding Islamic law, Sharia law, jihadism, this generation of jihad that he's talking about, that we're seeing all these things take place. I want to tell you specifically that the Lord has shown me and several others prophetically jihadists coming to America, people who are moving and battling to advance a caliphate, a Sharia law, a world that's under Islam. Islam is not just a religion. It's a religion. It's a political institution. It's all together in one particular bundle right there. And so we're seeing it take place. But there's different types of warfare in jihad that he's talking about. You know, you got political jihad where people get into political office. You have migration jihad where you're seeing many, many Muslims migrate across the nations. And some of the questions that was answered in an earlier program is, has Europe already fallen to this? Because you're seeing huge migration into the European countries. We're also seeing that happen in America. And the mayor of London, who just got elected to the office, that he is a practicing Muslim. And in leadership, the high office of London now is led by a Muslim. And this is what now John Gondola teaches us. He said that nowhere on the globe, nowhere on the face of the earth, is there any teaching about peaceful Islam in teaching out of the Quran. He says specifically also that if anybody does pull away from the teachings of the Quran of Muhammad, it's a capital offense. A capital offense means it's punishable by death. And so there are people that call themselves Muslims and they're not following what the Quran says, but they're not loyalists to Sharia law. They're not loyalists to Muhammad and what he's saying in his word. And when you start seeing people that are, you start seeing the hijab, the headdress, you're seeing dyeing the beard red, the women not wearing silver, the men not wearing gold, the men showing their ankles when they have pants. They don't have pants to go down past their ankles. They don't wear flip-flops, but they wear a particular sandal. This says that they're Sharia compliant. And he's saying you cannot have a Sharia existing at the same time you have the U.S. Constitution existing. Freedom, they do not coexist. One has to be over the other. And our U.S. Constitution says specifically that the people are the ones that are in charge, that we elect leaders to go represent us. And when you think about this, when you take a pledge to join America as a citizen, you renounce all loyalties to all potentates, princes, all these other allegiances that are out there. And the reason why they said that specifically was because they didn't want, at that time, they didn't want Sharia-compliant leaders coming to America, the new America, that said that the Quran needed to be over America. So you had to renounce all those loyalties to be able to come to America. And people raise their hand right now. As a matter of fact, we have on the VFN Torch for you right now, you can read the pledges that people pledge to be able to become a citizen of America. And one is they renounce all loyalties and submission to foreign governments. And if, in fact, your religion says that you need to be over the Constitution, you cannot be a legitimate, constitutionally sound citizen. You have to submit to the leadership in the U.S. Constitution to be an American. We haven't been applying that lately, but that's what it means to be an American.
We are listening to John Guandola, former FBI agent and an expert in terrorism and really understands Islam. I think about this when we're talking during the break, Steve and I were. How many times have you heard our leaders go, we are not at war with Islam?
Too many
Let me
times.
Clarify this before I say anything. We're not at war with Islam. But what's happening here, what we're hearing from this expert, who obviously they're not listening to, it's a violation of our current leadership's policies to be able to even mention that there are elements of Islam, radical jihadists, who are our enemy.
Yeah.
And so you hear politicians that are running for office, they're going, I will name the enemy. The enemy is radical jihadism. It's Islamism. And John Guandola is saying the very same thing. He's saying this is the enemy and that they can't coexist. I guess it really boils down to this, and we're going to go back to his talk, is that we got to decide, are we a Christian nation? I mean, turning our back on God doesn't mean that all of a sudden we are our own God. We can do anything we want to.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't submit to God, there's going to be some tyrannical leader rise up that says, you're going to submit to me.
Yeah.
I mean, God allowed mankind to exist without authority for a period of time, and the entire population of the earth was destroyed by a flood. Just Noah and his family were the only ones that came out of that. Why? Because evil just perpetuated and consistently till 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Evil is on the mind of every man on the face of the earth after Noah preached 120, 25 years or whatever that was. And then God began again. Why? This means this. God has blessed America with the freedom that we've had.
Mm-hmm.
But God did it. So if we turn our backs on God, we don't get to keep it the way it is. It'll be in some other form of
yeah. But just like you said, if we have to it's imperative that we understand the fact that, okay, we are a Christian nation. And in that awareness, then we have to understand the fact that we have to hold on to our Christian values, our Christian foundations.
And it's not just saying you're Christian.
Right, but then to understand. And then if we are to hold on to these truths, we can recognize that we are at war because we can see that our values are being...
Christian values, right.
Right. Our Christian values are being eroded every day, that we're seeing that what Islam teaches completely contradicts what the Constitution teaches.
If you look at the Quran, and we've got this for you on the VFN Torch, we have Islam 101. You know, you can learn it verbatim. It's got the Quran right by the scriptures. that if you read the book of Revelation, for example, it's the antithesis of the Gospels. If you, if they say Jesus Christ, if we say Jesus Christ, and we do, is the Son of God and he's the only way to God, they say, yeah, Jesus exists, but he was of the devil when that happened. He has to come back and break the cross, repent for calling himself the Son of God, and have all Christians either convert to Islam or be sent to hell. I mean, that's what this is. That's exactly what it's the anti-Christ religion. It's an anti-Christ religion. It's anti-Jesus Christ as the Son of God religion. You can't embrace anti and before.
That's right.
You got to make up your mind. Am I anti-Christ? Or I'm for Christ. Anti means against. So if they are saying, and they do say, and it's in the Quran, this is what Muhammad, the writings of the Quran say, that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God. He has to come back and repent for calling himself the Son of God. He's going to break the cross, which represents to us the reality that God met man on the cross, that forgave our sins, that made a way. The shed blood of Jesus Christ is what gets us into the kingdom of God when we actually ask God to forgive us and make Jesus Christ the Lord of our life. To deny that reality ends you in a very bad place. And it's not with God. It would be in hell forever. Mm-hmm. We're going to go back to this interview with John Guandola as he's talking specifically about have they already infiltrated America? This is Islamic radical jihadists, or somebody who's loyal to the Quran, what that means. They're loyal to it. And understand, John's already said specifically that they're not teaching anywhere on the face of the earth, in any place, about some form of peaceful Islam. He said they're teaching the Quran. They're teaching Sharia law. So that's what's going on. As a matter of fact, let's join.
So all of these issues with the refugee problem, what are they doing? Well, if you understand Sharia, what are we seeing? Well, you're seeing the fifth of the six stages of the Islamic movement's published plan, which where does that plan come from? Comes from the Quran and the example of the Prophet Muhammad. You know, here's a simple question. When does the Islamic calendar start? For 13 years, he was in Mecca, in the Arabian Peninsula, receiving revelations from Allah through an angel. This is what Islam teaches. And he first received them in a cave, and then throughout his time, he received them in various places. But he receives these revelations. In 13 years, he shows up after the revelations begin, and he goes to the scholars in Medina, Jewish scholars, and says, hey, I have a series of warts on my back in the shape of a fist, which, as you know, is the sign of the new prophet. And they say, you know, don't let the door hit you on the way out. And they completely reject him because there's no such prophet in the Old Testament predicted, nor in the New Testament. And so he's rejected. And Islam teaches that in the first 6 or 7 years, Muhammad only converts 6 people. Did you know that?
Uh-uh.
The first one is his wife, and then several family members. In the first 13 years of Islam in the Arabian Peninsula of Mecca, he only converts about 200 people to Islam. That's it in 13 years. But then comes the Hijra, the movement from Mecca to Medina, where he gets called up there to become a military political ruler. He raises an army. He gains many, many converts to Islam. And then he goes back and he sacks Mecca, really without much of a fight. So he goes back, conquers Mecca, and he becomes now a warlord, a warring leader. Well, the Islamic calendar begins at the Hijra, the movement from Mecca to Medina. In the first 13 years of Islam, there is no jihad. And all the revelations in the Quran in Mecca are all abrogated or overruled by those that then get revealed in Medina. And all Islamic law only comes from what was revealed in Medina, which is where we get jihad. So all these other, you know, quote-unquote peaceful verses, they're out.
Wow.
So the Islamic calendar begins at the Hijra, and the fifth stage of the Islamic jihad, the global understanding of how they actually conquer. First, it starts with educating Muslims first about what Islam is, which you've seen them do over these last 20 years. a big push, because Muslims have to understand what Sharia is and what Sharia is not. Then, once Muslims get that, they start going after the countries that are not adhering to Sharia. They've been doing that. Soon they'll turn towards what you understand that right now the Islamic movement is not focused on the West. They are focused on the Muslim world to ensure they're Sharia compliant. When, and they say it's going to happen this year, when they make that turn towards the West, you'll know it. You want to know why there aren't more attacks in the United States and Europe? It's because they're not focused on you. These are all acts of individual jihad. So this thing you see, the hijra, the movement from Mecca to Medina, you are watching it be replayed with the hijra, the movement of Muslims into new lands to conquer them. This refugee crisis is not a refugee crisis. Islam calls these people the Mujahideen, and what they're doing by emigrating into the West, that is a form of jihad. Do you understand?
Yeah.
I want somebody to tell me the truth. Are they infiltrating the United States of America at this time?
Of course they are. I mean, why wouldn't they?
We have believed a lie.
Yeah. And it comes down to being, you know, it's the lie of having to be politically correct. You know, we can learn a lot from Israel when it comes to this, because they believe in profiling individuals.
Yeah.
And just within the last couple of months, they have literally saved dozens upon dozens of lives when it comes to these knife attacks, mm-hmm. because they were able to profile individuals.
Right.
And whenever you're dealing with situations like San Bernardino.
Yeah, how many people were killed there? Do you remember?
It was over 20, I believe.
At San Bernardino.
Well, you had CARE, which is a government organization, instructing the individuals that saw what took place. You had CARE telling them what words to use and what words not to use.
And one of the CARE people stood with the family. Do you understand what we're talking about, John?
You hit on something that I don't want to let go by, and that is the rule of law. And so I'm going to just talk about three things. I want to talk about the rule of law, why that's important to what you're talking about. And to this, I want to talk about the role of citizens, which is critical in this. And then I want to talk about, we can talk about the Muslim Brotherhood organizations CARE and work our way into that first. I just want to go back. I mentioned it earlier, but I want to make sure this is clear. When we, first of all, I share with people, you can't talk about solutions until you understand the problem.
Right.
And this problem is much worse than even you all who are still listening understand. And why I say that is that this threat, as the pastor just said, is so ingrained in the society here and in Europe. We have a number of other issues besides the jihadi threat, not just Russia, China, North Korea, Iran. You've got the global communist movement, the socialist movement, the Marxist movement, the political left movement. You've got all kinds of threats coming at us. By the way, $20 trillion in debt, that's a threat to our national security. So all these issues that we have, both what we have, our current situation here in the United States, you know, a deteriorating Navy, a shrinking combat force in the Army and the Marine Corps, all kinds of issues that we have, the border issue, all these things. But if we don't get back to our principles and begin a willingness to stand on those, then I don't see how you do turn it around. For instance, our founding document, and pardon me, I'm not trying to be patronizing because I know we have an educated audience here, but the founding document of this country is not the Constitution, it's the Declaration. That's the ideal. The Constitution was the first great attempt at the ideal. And so the Constitution cannot be understood outside of the light of the Declaration, which says our rights come from God.
Yes.
And among the inalienable rights that are given to us, among them, not these are the only ones, among them are life, liberty, and property, the pursuit of happiness. And that our law comes from the law of nature and the law of nature's God. And the understanding of that, read Blackstone's commentaries, which was used in American legal law schools for the first 150 years. It says that no law can be created that violates the law of nature, the law of nature's God, scripture, divine revelation. And the founders' understanding was that if any legislature at the local, state, or federal level enacted anything or passed legislation that violated those, then the citizens don't have an obligation to obey it. Why? Because it violates the highest authority, the law of nature, nature's God. Because upon that, right, we surrender the right to self-government, to form a government whose primary responsibility is to defend the rights that God gave us. And then the other things that the founders put in place. A very skeletal federal government, but the states had the power and the individuals, the people, are the government. From that government, based on the law of God, nature's God, we get the rule of law, which gets to your point. The rule of law is based on those foundations. Out of the rule of law, you have a society where there is freedom, where you have liberty. And out of liberty comes prosperity. And so you get in the United States of America, the most prosperous nation in the history of the world, the longest standing constitutional republic. Why? Because the founders founded it on the law of nature and nature's God. You pull that out, the prosperity goes with it. Everything else goes with it. The rule of law is critical. Now, why do I say that? This isn't meant to be a civics lesson. It's meant to be a precursor to understanding. If we realize and remember those principles, that without the rule of law, you can't have liberty. Without liberty, you can't have prosperity. Then you understand we, the people, are the government. And where have we been? Right? I agree. Our leaders have failed us. Our leaders have failed us because we have failed. Because we as citizens, citizen soldiers, we have failed. Right? Every time a principal boots some third grader out of school for going like this, there should be 100 parents down there ready to wring that guy's neck. And every time a county council wants to propose a budget that puts that town or city in debt, there should be hundreds of people there. Every time a township, you know, proposes bringing one of the Guantanamo Bay jihadis into their town as a show of solidarity, well, actually, we have seen that in a couple places where they show up and they chase the town council members out of the room. I mean, that's what citizens do. Being nice, you can't find that anywhere in Scripture, nor can you find it anywhere in our founding. Being nice. Being nice, I'm not sure what that means. Being loving, well, sometimes being loving means you tell your children no. Sometimes being loving is, no, you actually, my four-year-old son, can't play with a loaded pistol. I say no to you, right?
Yes.
Or a child that's 10 years old that you give a .22 rifle to, and then later he shows that he's irresponsible with it, you don't give him another, right? You know, the Bible says those who won't work shall not eat. That's not cruel. That's not mean. That's responsible. That's
right.
Just.
That's right?
Yes. We're given things. We have to be good stewards of those things, whether it's money or other material things. We need to enforce the rule of law. And this is really critical. Goes back to what I said earlier, which is why I brought it up. The idea when Mayor Rudy Giuliani in New York was arresting people for just, for instance, urinating in public, or they had excessive parking tickets, he said, if you can arrest them, arrest them. If you can stop them, stop them. And what did they do? Crime plummeted in New York City because of this. Why? Because the rule of law became the rule again. And you, by doing that, you catch all kinds of other criminals. Do you understand the jihadis, the same jihadis we're talking about, ISIS, Al-Qaeda, Hamas, all these guys are working with human traffickers and drug traffickers because the same supply lines can be used by people to move all kinds of individuals and materials into the United States. And it is a joke at the border. It is a joke. I've been down there. If you see it, it is a joke.
It is.
I've talked to many Border Patrol guys that I have trained, and it's embarrassing. But you put, you know, the times when we actually have put the Army or the National Guard or the Marines on the border, the traffic flow through the border goes down to zero because they know you're serious.
If you haven't yet seen 6 Days in Iraq, you've got to see them. Listen, we've allowed people who are in leadership or who have a mic or in media to ridicule us, to criticize us, and to push us out of the public square. But realize if you're not in the public square, we the people's not working anymore. It's a government by the people and for the people. You're supposed to show up at the city council meeting and saying, we don't want this. You're supposed to show up at the county commissioner's meeting and say, we do want this. You're supposed to go to your school principal and say, we don't want that or we want this, because they all work for you. People have been convinced. This is what we need. Maybe God will talk to you about this. We need somebody 6 months before every election campaign happens in your city, your state, or the country. We need 6 months of education, educating everybody that every office is up. Anybody can be voted in the office. And the people that are in there now, they can stay, but they don't have to stay. It's totally up to you, the people. So don't feel obligated to continue to keep people in office, because you're the one who's responsible. So if you don't think they're doing a good job, replace them. Because people are convinced, it's like, oh, they've been there for this long. You know, they're actually coming more of a king-type format. And it's like, you just can't do that. And I think about this. I mean, our president's name is Barack Hussein Obama. And his dad reportedly was open Muslim. He even had, Barack went to Muslim schools at a young age. Well, they named him Barack. What is Barack? Barack is the actual name of the horse or the donkey that carried Muhammad to Medina, like he's talking about. Medina.
From Mecca to Medina.
And he's saying that's what's taking place right now. It's almost like our president appears to be partnering with the Muslim Brotherhood to bring Medina, bring Islam to a place. And it's amazing the parallels that are going on. But the answer is to all of this is for God's people. He says, when all these things happen, if you will humble yourself, repent, turn from our wicked ways, and pray, and our God will hear us from heaven, and he'll restore our land. Listen, this is going to happen if we don't return. That's why we're praying for a revival. That's why we're asking for a third great awakening. We're beginning to see, you know, bits and pieces, and it's bubbling up a little bit. But you got to join in. You can't watch it anymore. You got to participate. You think about it. Jesus came as the light of the world. The light shined in darkness, but the darkness could not understand it. He's the light of men. He's the life of men. He says in the Word of God, we're told, as Paul's writing to, I believe, the Church of Corinthians, he says, listen, he said, they can't understand you because their minds are blinded by the God of this world. The answer is not all this education on Islam. Yeah, we need to get educated on what's going on in jihadism, but you got to get saved. If you haven't made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you have a blinded mind. This doesn't make sense to you. When you see our leaders and they can't see what we're saying, it's because their minds are blind. They have no idea. They're just walking us into a deeper, deeper darkness and bondage and captivity and, you know, servanthood of some tyrannical mindset. But the answer then is for you to step out of your comfort zone and say, you know what? I'm going to join VFN TV. I'm going to join Jim Baker. I'm going to begin to keep the conversation light. I'm going to begin to tell folks, listen, you got to have broadcasts like VFN TV that the light can go forth so people can see what's going on, because a blinded mind cannot see what you're talking about. This seems so obvious to us, doesn't it? But really, if your mind is blinded by the God of this world, you have not yet received the light of Jesus into your life, you really can't see that. And they'll walk right into this. Don't think logic is going to get us out of this. It's humility and repentance and turning to God and beginning to preach the gospel again. If you haven't yet made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you can do it right now by just calling on him. Go to meetmyfather.org. meetmyfather.org, where we shared our testimonies, and we'll share with you how we made Jesus Christ the Lord of our life. And I guess what, your eyes are going to light up. You're going to begin to understand what's going on. And if we do this and repent, God will turn this thing around. I want to pray with you right now. Father God, I thank you for John Guadola, Lord, and what he's done, and how he's begun to educate us. And we just pray our government's gates and doors would open up to such wisdom and knowledge that's going on, Father God. We pray, Lord God, for those that are in Islam, that you would just reach out to them, even now, God, and begin to show yourself to them like you're doing even in North Africa in dreams, and show them that that their hunger for God is through you, Jesus, that, that it's you that will save them and to forgive them and to be a huge revival amongst the Muslims, Lord, and they would just come to you, Lord, a huge number being saved, Father God. And we pray for salvation to America, God. We pray, Lord, that we would turn back again and teach us, Lord, what does it mean to be a Christian nation, God? We just ask you for this, dear Lord, end abortion, end this jihadist push into the world, into America. Send revival. Send a third great awakening, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Dated Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN-TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.